In this week's episode, we talk about web design, have a special guest with us, and talk about brand's impact on your company. Welcome to the You're the Marketing Department podcast, the show for you, the CEO, the VP, or solo marketer inside of a growing organization. Whether it's your main task or just one hat you wear, we're here to provide tips, resources, and encouragement as you perform the impossible of leading a one-man or one-woman marketing army. As always, be sure to check out our website, newnorth.com/podcast, for information about today's show, resources, ebooks, and insights into marketing. My name is Tobin. I'll be the host for your show today, and I'm joined by Lydia. How's it going today, Lydia?
Going pretty well.
Well, thank you for being with us today, Lydia. Lydia is a designer here with us at New North. And so being that she's new to the podcast, I'm going to give her a chance to maybe give us a little intro into who she is. And I'll start with a really weird question. What's one thing that people don't really know about you?
Well, I will say one thing that is fairly recent. I built a warp core for my husband, who is a Star Trek fan.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
So that was a recent thing that kind of fed something I like to do, which is build things with my hands, and I don't get to do that very often.
Awesome. So tell me, what is a warp core?
A warp core powers the spaceship, essentially.
Oh, cool. So how did you make this thing?
Out of a lot of different things. Dowel rods, flower pots, roof sheeting.
That's cool.
Lights from Amazon, lots of lights.
That's cool. So how big is this?
It's about, let's see, 3.5 feet tall.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So where does this go?
It went in my husband's trunk for Halloween during a trunk or treat.
Oh, cool. That's very cool.
So that was the impetus.
Yeah, that's a very
for building a warp core.
Yeah, any kind of a starting point there for something like that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's cool. Well, Lydia's here to talk today about website design, something we haven't talked about today on the You're the Marketing Department podcast. Being a designer, she's got some great insights into this. And so let's just start with the basics for our audience. I think one of the biggest places to start with design, and one of the biggest challenges we have with our clients when they talk about design, is thinking design kind of comes from somewhere in the ether, just out of nowhere. Like, design me a brochure. But I think you and I both agree that content is really the beginning of design. Can you speak a little bit about why you think content is so important in design?
Yes. The old adage, you know, form follows function, is really important. Form definitely makes things look good and pleasing to the eye. But if you don't have the content that speaks to the user, the form, the look of it is meaningless.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's being asked to design a, you know, postcard and have no content. I mean, what are you supposed to design, right? There's, I mean, what image to use, what text, what's the feel? Mm-hmm. I mean, all those things are determined by what you're trying to say, right? The message. So design influencing form, that's really huge in that part. And so I think when we get into that context, we start talking about this idea that design is something driven by a person. It's a subjective kind of piece. And people think, well, designers are just artistic. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember in college, my professor had some really choice words for artistic people. We're not an artist, we're a designer, and there's something different about that. And I think there's a misconception there about design versus art being for, you know, someone's subjective expression, where design is really solving problems. And so you talk about a graphic designer, they may be artistic on the side, they may have an artistic endeavor, they may build warp course, you know, something that they do, but the design process is something that's solving problems through visual communication. And so I think that's one of the biggest issues, we maybe speak to that for a minute, is really this idea of going at design, and many of our listeners probably think of that the same way, like, oh, a good designer would just be artistic and be able to kind of like just, you know, put things out there. Or even thinking that there's an idea of preference in design. And so I think you and I both have talked about this before. Good design, I think, highlights the users of the design or the intended audience of the design over someone's preferences. We definitely have had projects where, you know, someone just really wanted this particular green or this particular image, and they weren't really thinking about the user.
Right. Well, the design should lead the user to do something or to be able to digest a certain message. So coming into a web project, you really need to know, you know, who your audience is. You need to establish the personas, the different person types that you're trying to reach.
Yeah, it's all coming from some aspect of the desired impact. Yeah, I think we've definitely seen that where clients of ours have had wanted us to just design something pretty, mm-hmm. and they're looking for a style of some degree, but but they have no backing for that style, right? It's like, well, what's the point of that style? Like, you know, I want something cutting edge. Like John and I just had this conversation with a client recently, but they couldn't articulate what that actually meant. Now, there's very easy ways to do that, saying, well, we want to be seen as an industry leader, or we want it to be seen as someone more modern, and that's where the design would influence it. But a modern design is something that is a reflection, again, of that intent or that need, where the content would come from. If they're at, you know, cutting edge design, you wouldn't expect a, I guess you wouldn't, maybe you would, like a old-fashioned quilt company to have a very slick, modern, German, clean Helvetica site. It just wouldn't fit. Like, there's an intention behind that thing. So this idea of what the user is experiencing, what the message is, over an artistic flair, really. And I've definitely seen sites where there's been a lot of flair, a lot of autistic flair in what they're doing. So that's really great. But I think that gets into the other thing too, which is really, well, where do you start then? If you're not looking at design from a subjective point of view, but really trying to be objective about it and think about the form, the content, what you're trying to do and solve a problem visually, there needs to be a foundation there, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Ideally, you come into a web project with an existing brand guide and style guide to follow, right, whether that be colors or typography, materials that you already have that you wish to match. So knowing what your brand, you know, is being represented, right, by currently is very important, because that will translate into the web design as well. You want there to be a unified look across all your mediums, whether it be print or digital.
Yep.
It should all work together.
Yeah, and I know some maybe of our audience has done this maybe mistake before, but it's probably one of our biggest pet peeves is to design something like a website and not have anything to offer, right? So if you have a logo, that's a good start. But what are some of the things you think you would expect from a web design perspective to be in place before you start a website design?
Right. Ideally, the logo, of course, and along with that, a color palette. So whether it is the colors in the logo or also mm-hmm. some existing colors that complement that. You know, ideally, we already come to a web design project with that. If you don't have that already, then there is additional time that is spent developing,
right,
you know, the look and the mood and the feel that goes, yep, with the logo.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a logo, then you're in another predicament of establishing additional, you know, an identity, which is,
right,
even bigger than a website for sure.
Right. Yeah, I think the website tends to be one of these things that people do first in many cases. So it ends up being the bearer of mm-hmm. the logo design, the color palette, the type choice, the messaging choice. So a website design project should be fairly straightforward, but it ends up being burdened by finalizing the logo and what's the color palette look like, type choices, what's our message? Like, we've definitely had conversations into the design saying, well, we don't really have a tagline. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, right, the website project becomes the bearer of the tagline decision, which is more than it's really meant for.
Right. Well, and even to further that point, going back to what we talked about earlier with content, you know, you can bring a logo and maybe you already have a look and feel, but if you don't have messaging and content that you,
right,
can bring to the table,
yep,
then you're also spending additional time really honing, you know, that message that you want to give out to your users. And on a website, you know, you have a bigger platform than you do in a brochure. So,
right,
often people come with these big ideas. Well, I want to have all of these pages, and they don't think about the fact that a lot of development needs to go into the content,
yeah,
for all of those pages.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it turns into a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the idea too. We've definitely seen where, you know, that form follows function, where a client, you know, wants the design and then they'll maybe write to the design. We've definitely had that request before, like, oh, show me the design and I'll just fill in the gaps. It's like, well, that's backwards,
right,
you know, in many ways.
And I know I tend to take inspiration from the content sometimes, whether it be,
right,
picking out a phrase or an idea that might lead me towards certain photography or certain look and feel. Those things,
right,
are a big deal to me because it really gives me insight into, you know, what message you want to convey to your users.
Right. There's a purpose to, mm-hmm, it. Like, I think when people look at dynamic or really different looking homepages, I'm like, wow, this homepage is so unique. It's just, it's a big image with one button in the middle. It's like, well, that's not a design. Like, someone, mm-hmm, just artistically threw that out there and everyone just decided to go for it. There's an intention. There was a user focus, like we talked about before. The user was really the main person in that conversation, not the person's preferences. I mean, someone wasn't in the shower thinking, like, I just want one button on my homepage, and it was a whim.
Well,
there's,
I
research
think that all the time.
Yeah, exactly. There's research and stuff that goes into that. And so I think that's a big part of that idea is right. that there's always an intention, and content's one of those drivers, form, function of what the user is supposed to be doing. And that's really when one of the best websites really start coming apart is when people's thoughts in boardrooms, especially designed by committee, which we've even heard that term mm-hmm. before. That's mm-hmm. when everyone sits around and figures what the site should do or what the design should look like right. in one room of people who are invested in the company versus the user happens because of that. So that's good. So let's take a step back and talk about just some trends in design. So I think our audience would be interested in maybe just what's happening in the design world, because we're very focused on numbers, metrics, results, all the different channels that we're managing. Maybe just to take a deep dive quickly into some of the trends that are happening in design, especially in web design. Maybe you can speak to us about what you're seeing out there in terms of what's going on.
Sure. I definitely see the pendulum swinging from one preference to another. A number of years ago, it was very common for skeuomorphic or realistic design to be seen on websites.
Right.
And that pendulum swung pretty sharply toward flat design, where
right.
I personally did not really care for it, because often you could not tell what was a button and what was a graphic element because everything was flat.
Right.
And it seems now that things are leveling out a little bit. Google Material Design is in part responsible for that, I think. But I also think it's just a general sense from people like myself who thought that flat design was difficult to make sense
right.
of. Now you're seeing a lot more soft shadows, and you're seeing a little bit of depth, something mm-hmm. that is trying to mimic the real world in a way. Google Material Design used the word material because they wanted to convey something tactile, something you could touch.
Mm-hmm.
So Google Material Design has the soft shadows, really light outlines, mm-hmm. Makes use of color. And also interactions, where when somebody presses something, they have a nice little animation that's showing that there's a response, and it feels bigger than just a digital device screen now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so important as we get into a place in web design where we're no longer so focused on just screens. I mean, the return to something tactile makes sense when we're having more and more devices that we're actually interacting with fingers, right? Mm-hmm. We're not just looking at stuff. The eye isn't the only decision maker of what's going on there. So
right.
seeing things that look like buttons, seeing things that we can click on that maybe have some kind of friction point, which our eyes naturally react to and our brains do is in the real world, makes total sense for us to see that kind of change. Because yeah, flat design, I mean, it just, yeah, it swings back and forth. It's just hyper realistic versus
yes.
something that's kind of just really minimal or something. So that's really cool. I like that. It's good to see. Actually, I'm not too familiar with material design, so I think our listeners can Google that. We'll put some links in the show notes for that.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me a little bit more too about, just how you're seeing the level of design in sites. I know we've seen more and more in the projects we're doing where we're not just designing a homepage and a subpage that used to be kind of the mm-hmm. standard fare. I mean, the one we're working on right now has actually 12 different templates, and it's about a 30-page site. So we're almost at 30% of the pages being custom designed. What are you seeing in that way?
I have been working in this industry for over 15 years now. And when I first started, sites were very highly templatized, where you maybe had just a few variations, very
right.
standard
content variations
yes.
only. Yep.
Right. Content is what changed. And now, instead of just developing a template, you're often designing the entire page
right.
to lead the user through information, or just to make the entire page, a design piece in a way. And that is very involved. It often takes more time, takes more thought, obviously.
Right.
And you're thinking about, laying out a website. Yeah, definitely a lot more templates than usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the design is, so interesting. It just keeps coming back to me, this quote that I use a lot, it seems, from Mark Twain, saying, if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much involved with good design to make things minimal. I think some people look at a site that maybe has five pages thinking, well, this is simple site, it's got very little thing, but every page is uniquely designed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very long page, so it seems elusive that, you just mm-hmm. keep scrolling, all this stuff happens, but I mean,
right.
that page could be 50 hours of design time and user testing and everything that goes into it. And so I think that idea is growing, but the perception maybe is that it's not more time or it's not more difficult to do that, but actually does take a lot more thinking to go through that.
5 pages sounds simple. And if it really was just a homepage and a template where you just put content in, it would be simple.
Right.
But when you have, you know, multiple levels of content that's designed, it does add up. And that actually speaks to another trend that I've seen change. It used to be that above the fold, you know, when you put up a website, you wanted the most important things to be at the top of the screen.
Right.
That idea has definitely gone away. People have been moving away from that. And long scrolling pages are pretty much the norm now.
Right.
I think there's still sometimes maybe they're too long.
Yeah, sure.
People can go overboard. Yep. But some of that is also a response, I think, to search engine optimization and wanting to have more content.
Absolutely. I would say that's a big contributor to that.
So it's been a driver of that, I think.
Yeah. And I think, too, we're looking at, I mean, still having some key call to actions at the top, but there's more and more going down the page now. And I think we were talking to a client about that, and they called us on the above the fold piece, but then, you know, they also totally recognized the bucket list of things they wanted to cover on a homepage. And it's like, well, this isn't all getting above the fold. So that compromise and understanding, and also too, and just, you know, keying off of that, screen size for above the fold is kind of a little bit of a joke now. I mean, how do you determine that? Because I mean, the mobile device versus a tablet versus a monitor, and monitors now, I mean, you could have someone on a 1024 still, and then someone on a 2400. I mean, it just depends on where they are.
Often I think we focus on the extremes, the mobile and the large desktops, and we forget about everything in the middle, even your small netbooks, your larger tablets.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's all becoming a challenge. And so I see that being more and more evolving as we look at different screen types, and just web as a whole being not so much a desktop activity, but it's really just a digital transfer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mobile usage is skyrocketing, and it will only get higher.
Yeah, so let's end on maybe one question I think is probably burning for our listeners too, is the redesign versus the new website conversation. So I have this a lot with clients, especially in the sales department. So I want to have a design view of this. We've talked a lot about this with someone who maybe has a site that is already in a CMS. So they've already made that transition. That's usually the biggest one. If they have a static site, you definitely need to redo it. That's another conversation. But say they're on WordPress, they've got some pages and they like what they've got, but they're not really to jump into a $10,000 or $20,000 new site design. They have maybe a $5,000 to $7,000 budget for a fresh. What's your take on that? Do you think there's room still for a whole redesign process? Or do you think in this day and age, we're doing more and more just iterative update changes?
In general, things are definitely more iterative than they used to be. Mm-hmm. But I think it really depends on the content, actually, and the messaging of the site. If it speaks to your users and it conveys your brand, then it might be a little easier to get away with just a redesign.
Right.
But if your content is stale and you know you have a different focus, or you need to update your messaging, then you're probably considering more of a redesign, or sorry, a new website than just a redesign.
Right.
Along those lines, I think one of the first questions you can ask is, you know, is this a responsive website? Does this work on mobile? There are still sites out there that are not. Most people have already started moving that direction. But it might be that that's a first step, that you just go ahead and make the current templates, the current whatever theme, whatever you're using, you go ahead and make that responsive. And then you kind of reevaluate, because if you really are reworking content and design, that can be a very, you know, intensive process.
That's usually the mix. If you're doing both content and design, it's probably best to just retool the whole thing and do it from scratch. Yeah, this year we've had our fair share of both, I think, but it definitely leans towards that mix if we're doing something brand new, or if you've missed the window, I think is another consideration. I usually use a 3 to 5 year window. So if your site is 9 years old, you're probably just going to need to push forward and do a whole redesign. There's just, it's kind of like the remodel versus the build. I mean, if you're, if it's that old, you may just gut it. You may just need to tear it all the way down.
You need to take out the old appliances and bring in the new ones. It's similar in a coding perspective, even where
it's going
to be updated.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I mean, the code base can be really destructive, especially now with not missing or you don't have a schema in place, or if you're using old HTML, you know, kind of markup pieces, that can be really destructive. So this has been really helpful, and I think our listeners are really going to enjoy this. Any final words for our listeners about design in terms of what they should be thinking about for 2017 with design?
I think my biggest piece of advice is to try to pull yourself away from, you know, opinion and preference, and make sure that you really are focusing on your users and Absolutely. What message that they are hearing. Design is important, but it will only be as effective as what the user is able to take away from it.
That's awesome. Cool.
That would be my biggest piece of advice.
Yeah, agreed. Awesome. Well, thank you. All right, so we're going to go through a quick food for thought segment here. Since we have Lydia in-house, we're going to keep it on design, but really talking more about that design by committee approach, because I know a lot of our people we talk with have this problem where maybe you're the marketing department, but you've got a CEO or a board that wants to be involved in some final says, or maybe you just want their input to a degree so you don't get thrown under the bus later with the design or something like that. So we're going to give you three tips maybe as you go into that meeting on how you should best run that meeting, how to best work with a committee that wants to be over the design, or a CEO who's got kind of their hands a little too deep in your pockets as you go forward. So three tips, and we'll start with the first one, which I think is the more the messier, to coin a phrase there. The more people involved in your design approval process or design component of a project is going to be messier, because there is that subjective nature of design where everyone's got their own feelings about colors, their own feelings about this. And so that's just a key word for you to listen for when someone gives you feedback. Well, I feel like blank. Well, I think that's a real challenge. And so the more people you have in a conversation, the more of those wide array of feedback pieces you're going to get. So I think as you think about the design by committee, maybe you want to narrow down to the two or three people you feel like are the most critical to deal with, and letting their voices be heard in that process. And so I think keying up on that is the second point, Lydia, about keeping it focused on the users.
Yes, I would, from the outset, establish who the users are and ensure that everyone that you speak with knows, you know, what those personas are, who the people are that you're trying to reach, and always bring it back to the user. So if you're told that, you know, you don't like this element, well, does that matter to the user? You know, what is important right. to the user in the end? And sometimes that will help clarify what is just a subjective opinion versus a real issue.
Right. Yeah. Because there's a lot in how you, as the marketing department, bring that design to the table as well. And so mm-hmm. if you keep your conversation always focused on the user, and right. so if you get that, I feel like this image is too big, you may be able to use data, you may be able to use mm-hmm. the user experience, you know, examples you have, or the language. Again, I think that's one of the big mistakes we see in messaging is simply the language reflects an internal perspective on your product or service, not what the user is expecting. Like mm-hmm. you may use jargon or something more deep, or you're already three steps ahead of where the user actually is in the call to action. That's why no one clicks on it. So right. keeping it focused on the user is huge. And I think just drawing on that, the third point I would say is about driving the conversation. If you're trying to get approval with a client or with a your CEO, which is kind of your internal client, you want to work to make sure you're driving the conversation. So when you present a design, you may not want to throw it out there as a catch-all saying, what do you guys think about this whole page? You may want to drive the feedback in certain areas saying, do you like the font choice here? Do you like the color that we used for the header? Do you like the image in the header? And keep their feedback and their opinions focused on the areas you truly think there's some value to getting feedback on. If you let the cattle loose, so to speak, over the field, they're going to go everywhere on the design. They're going to question the color palette. They're going to question if they need a logo update. They're going to question if this is even the right content. There's all kinds of pieces that come out. So I think as you're going through that, making sure you value their feedback, get what's most important to you, but don't let them have carte blanche over your entire design. Give them really focused areas you want feedback on. And that may involve an iterative approach where you look at a homepage and ask them about messaging one time and then come back later and ask about design elements. And maybe later down the road, you look at one page and just say, does this search box feel intuitive to you? So really driving what feedback they're going to give you. That way you're not really just opening Pandora's box every time you present a design, which tends to happen. And what can really happen in the long run is you get four or five pages through a design process and they question a color or something that's been used in the beginning of the site, and you're back to ground zero, starting over again. So keep the conversation focused, make sure you're inviting who it is, keep it focused on the users, and drive that conversation with pointed feedback that values where they're coming from and their opinions, and keeping it focused on what they do best. And that'll really make the design by committee process happen a lot smoother.
Along those lines, I would also add that a good question to ask sometimes is to look for things that are either in opposition or don't speak to the messaging. So instead of looking for things to, you know, that you don't like or to criticize, you know, you're looking for things that actually don't portray your brand the way that it should be portrayed. Yeah. So it's really looking for critical errors as opposed to critiquing a design.
Right. Yeah, because you don't have a committee of design experts likely at your department. Yeah, they may they may understand your product, they may understand your service, right? Mm-hmm. But whether they understand design, it's another question to be left for the experts.
Right.
Awesome. All right, so that's it for today's show. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes, leave a review. Also, be sure to check out the show notes on the website, newnorth.com/podcast. And always our LinkedIn group, You're the Marketing Department Podcast on LinkedIn. Check out that group. Send us questions to podcast@newnorth.com. And Lydia, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. We'll see you guys next time.